Dicey Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, SEC Media Days. Our coverage presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Also locations on Highway 100 in Bellevue and Charlotte Pike on the west side as well. And appreciate them for being on board. One of our favorites. Always enjoy our conversations with him, both on Radio Row here in Atlanta and also when we call him from time to time. Peter Burns of ESPN and the SEC Network is with us.
What's Thanks, up? Boys. I appreciate it. I don't know. It's kind of it's so weird that we were just I was just in Omaha. It would have felt like what 2 days ago,
yeah.
You know, covering that.
Yeah.
And I just got my credit card bill from it. It was ugly. I was an LSU fan. And then you come here, and then you know you get ready. And I'll tell you, this is a weird week because this is the first time in a long time that it felt like a normal media days.
Yeah.
Like maybe back since 2019, because 2020 we didn't have it. Then in 2021 we're talking about conference expansion. Then Texas at Oklahoma. Then the college football playoff expanding. Then oh my God, NIL. A thing, then transfer portal is a thing, and it feels like all of this has kind of settled down a little bit.
Sure.
And now we're actually talking football. The only freaking problem is who the hell's on these rosters?
Yeah.
Right? I talked to Lane yesterday, and he's like, I've got four returning starters. Four. You know, I mean, like, there's so much of a transfer portalization of college football that it feels like new random rosters every single year now.
Well, and like, you look at, because of that, there's all these quarterbacks, and it's like we're supposed to do the, you know, mm-hmm. pick your player of the year and all that stuff, and it's like I don't know. I mean, a lot of these guys are unproven.
Well, and so think about all of the top tier teams, top tier. Okay, I'll start. You know, Georgia. We don't know what Gunnar Stockton's going to be.
Right.
Okay. Alabama. We think Ty Simpson's going to be the starter, but we don't really know what he's going to be. Texas. Arch Manning got a ton of hype. We really don't know what he's going to be quite yet. And so you look at kind of that upper echelon, and you're thinking, I have no idea what the quarterback situation. That you go one step further down, and you're talking about LSU. Well, Garrett Nussmeier, probably going to be pretty good. South Carolina was good last year. They got Lenore Sellers, DJ Lagway over at Florida. So that, you know, the upper middle tier, they have returning quarterbacks that are good. But this is no different than how you guys would talk about, I would imagine, like the AFC South. As well, too. It's like when college football, it looks more like the NFL, but there's so much parity now in a quote-unquote salary-capped world, which is true and false. But I don't necessarily know if that's a bad thing. I think there's legitimately five or six teams that we could see in Atlanta, and I think college football-wise, who could win the title? I have no idea, but I think there's 30 teams that can make the college football playoff, and we've never been able to say that around the sport.
I think it's great. Peter Burns, SEC Network, is with us. Obviously, big games throughout the season. I want to get your take. Third game in, Georgia goes to Knoxville.
Yeah.
Tennessee starts with Syracuse. Not going to be easy. They play East Tennessee State. Georgia's got Marshall, Austin Peay. Then they go to Knoxville.
Yeah.
That game, to me, is a make or break. It might be for either team, Peter.
I took a lot of hell on my show this morning because we were talking about my top five most important games. And everybody thinks it's going to be Georgia, Alabama, or Texas, Ohio State. And I didn't have them on the list. I actually said Tennessee and Syracuse. And the reason why I said that, it was because how important it is right from the jump after the Nico Iamaleava deal and now Joey Aguilar or Merklinger is going to be the quarterback for Heupel to show, hey, we're good. We're fine. Everybody don't freak the hell out. We have this. And for them to show up and play extremely well and kind of calm everybody down and to get ready for that game coming up. I mean, Georgia's schedule, the way it ramps up is I mean, that's – in this world, as tough as their schedule is, you want to have it to where you're playing two probably lesser opponents. You can kind of get right, and you can hit the ground running right now. I have a lot of concerns about Tennessee, and that's why this is such a big year for Heupel to prove that, listen, I can make it work. We've seen that he can change. From Hendon Hooker, he had to change the offense a little bit with Joe Milton, had to really change it with Nico. But then he always can do that. Can he do it now, not having the guy that he had planned to have there at quarterback?
Has that offense in Knoxville lost some of its because I'm telling you, the high tempo, go, 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 I loved it. Last year, it kind of pulled back a little bit.
Trust Nico to run it, and that was the problem.
Okay.
And that's not a knock on him. I mean, my gosh, it's more of a credit to what Hendon Hooker could do back when he was playing that, hey, he just understood it. It was a brilliant mind, and he can go, go, go. And I think Heupel understood, well, now we need Dylan to run the ball until he just was just so banged up you couldn't do it any longer. That's why I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what Heupel and this crew can do. And I think, Tennessee is going to be a lot like kind of how South Carolina is in the fact of, all right, you had a great season last year. Is this the new floor? Is this the new, you know, water level at medium right here for these guys? Or was that just a flash in the pan season?
We're talking to Peter Burns from the SEC.
Real quick, just to build upon that, this is the first time I can remember in a long time I felt like there was more hype around Vanderbilt than Tennessee.
Yeah.
And that's part of the Pavia deal. It's part of beating Alabama, but it's interesting now that we've gone to 16 teams. Occasionally when you come to media days, some teams just don't get talked about. Like last year, I hardly talked about Kentucky Wildcat football at all because we had 16 teams. And it feels like even today, Tennessee doesn't get talked about nearly as much as Georgia, who's here, okay, or Auburn and Hugh Freeze and how much he's playing golf, or Texas and Sark and Arch Manning and all those guys. That Tennessee's kind of like, oh, yeah, and Tennessee's here. Like, it's just it's interesting when you get these super conferences the way it plays out.
It's so funny, though, that you bring Vanderbilt up because literally every guest we've had on will ask us about Pavia or Vanderbilt and stuff. And they've never had a rock star guy like that before. I mean, they've had good players. Cutler was obviously a great player, and you know, Jordan Matthews and others, but never someone that has an aura around them.
That's a great word.
Like Pavia,
right
has.
Word.
Yeah,
I remember I did a show that traveled this year on the road for the noon kickoff for SEC Network, and I did the Vanderbilt Auburn game, and I was excited. I was like, I'm going to get there early. My whole deal was I love to be the first person on the field and just see how lucky we are that we get a chance to cover this. And I remember Auburn fans get always to the stadium super, super early, especially the fans. And I've never seen a fan base get behind the opposing tunnel because they couldn't wait to see Pavia come out. And the Vanderbilt players, you know, just kind of hanging out, the towel in the hair, the headphones or whatever, and they're all kind of just sauntering out. And I'm like, just like normal. And all of a sudden, Pavia comes out. And I'm telling you, there was an essence about him. This sounds stupid. I'm a 46-year-old grown-ass man. I know it. But whenever he came out, you're like, okay. Like, there was just, like, everybody was like, oh, my gosh, here he is. And he just, and I think, you know, I don't think it's manufactured either.
No.
Like, Joe Burrow had a certain amount of coolness that it was cocky, but it was confidence that just worked. Pavia works. And I think what's helped what Clark Lea has done, who I think is a badass coach, I think he's awesome, is the fact that now they finally have some depth around him. Guys like Eli Stowers could have gone to the league and they go, no. Like, this is awesome. By the way, living in Nashville, come on. It's amazing.
Doesn't suck.
Yeah, it doesn't suck, especially when you're making a couple more dollars than we're all of us combined. But the fact that now not all of it is going to be put on Diego. That they can run the ball a little bit more. They, in fact, this is the first time in a long time when I talked to people out over there, they felt like, man, we can go hard in spring practice and really develop our team because we have the numbers. I remember years ago when we would do stuff over, even when Derek Mason's squad were out there, they're like, we don't do much in spring. We just make sure everybody kind of stays healthy. We just don't have the numbers that everybody else has.
Peter Burns is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. Here's an odd question, but I want to get your take on it. You live in Charlotte.
That's correct.
Does it help that you're not in an SEC city when you get away from work? Because if you lived in Birmingham, you turn the radio on, or Atlanta, SEC, SEC. Does it help?
It's interesting because it's weird when I walk through the SEC, or I go to work, and it's a nondescript studios that we have. It's basically the story real quick is where ESPNU used to have our studios. The SEC said, we'll use those studios because it wasn't in Birmingham. It was in a state that wasn't in North Carolina. No SEC ties. Let's put the studio there. So when I walk into the studio, I just walk into a place. Nobody knows what you're doing. You go and do your show. And you don't think anything about it. And then you come to the South, and it's on every single television.
Right. Yeah.
It's the weirdest deal because I can walk through Charlotte. Nobody knows who the hell I am, nor should they by any means. And I walk through in Birmingham, or I go through Baton Rouge, and then people are like, hey, can I ask you a question? And so you realize how relative fame is and how BS it is for these players. But it also helps you because you don't get caught up in this, like, mind construct of, like, I'm so deep into the weeds of what this team is. And I mean, I was just talking. I was on radio with the guys in Alabama. And they're like, we're going to be terrible. We're horrible. Everything is going to be crashing. Is Nick Saban coming back to coach? All this BS and stuff like that. And I was like, buddy, like, see the forest through the trees here. You guys might have the best team and the best roster, maybe in college football right now. But when you get so caught up in your own cities that you just, you know, you're just caught up in that world. So I think it's a plus that we're not in an SEC city because we get an opportunity to kind of experience it all.
We had Greg McElroy on earlier who, you know, told us the full story and, you know, obviously how things can be taken out of context a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It was me who he was talking to.
Yeah,
I
right.
was just drunk last night. I heard Saban's coming back and he's like, I heard from a reputable source. And I was, no, I'm just joking.
But with that now in the ether of, oh, maybe it happens and it's probably got a 0.0001% chance of
probably a better chance of that happening than Bill Belichick being the head coach of North Carolina.
Did we
ever think that was going to happen?
Yeah. No.
There's no way. And I could have told you that and you'd be like, get the hell out of here, Burns.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on.
What does that do, though, for Kalen DeBoer and the pressure that is already there? Because by Alabama standards, a 9-win season was not a good season.
I mean, nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. Nor should it change anything for Kalen DeBoer, because I think that coaching staff is right where he wants it to be. Finally got Ryan Grubb running that offense. It was going to be great. Defensively, Kane Womack is a stud. They're loaded. He's fine. If we're going to play the 0.001% chance, that would do it. If you want to come full circle, Nick Saban's always talked about it, how he was upset that he left LSU.
Yeah.
That he should have never gone to the Miami Dolphins. Miss Terry always gives him hell about that. So, again, if you play the crazy world, like, oh, my gosh, that is something Brian Kelly won't, you know, says, you know what, I'm just going to go play golf in Ireland all my life. I want to play golf like Hugh Freeze does all the time. Okay? If he said that, I mean, maybe, but, I don't foresee a world. And I wouldn't want to lose him over at ESPN. I mean,
he's fantastic.
He cuts through extremely well. And we talk about guys that have an aura. Last year, I made the mistake. We have a green room here for the SEC media days and stuff like that. And we're all grabbing lunch right before our shows, and I'm starving. I just got done with my show, and then there's not a place to sit. So there's a phone and a laptop here, and I grab my food. I put it here, and I was like, what is this? And I put the laptop on the phone over there, and I had like four people just look at me. They're like, what are you doing? It was Nick Saban's laptop and cell phone.
He always has the laptop.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he is dialed in. My favorite Saban story when he first started working with us is that he does, you know, about an hour or two of television, and then we always give everybody a little bit of time to kind of rest, and you're going to be on this next show. And so Saban, I think this was Dallas, he starts kind of like, he goes for a walk, and it's 125 degrees, and he comes back like 15 minutes later, and he tells this guy, he goes, y'all book me the rest of the day. I don't, like, if I'm here to work me the entire day. I got a lot of stuff to say. I'm prepared. Let's go. Because, and think about it, his life has been regimented for the last 40 years.
Easily.
Yeah.
This hour we do this, this hour we do this, this hour we do this. You go to bed, you wake up, you do it again. I mean, it's like Shawshank Redemption when, what is it, Red, or where the guy gets out of jail and doesn't know what the hell to do and he wants to get back into jail?
Yeah.
That's Saban. But that's why you see the greatness, whether it's Steve Jobs, music geniuses, or Saban in coaching, they're obsessive. And that's the difference between being elite and being really good. And that's why Kirby has done, you know, so well. I remember being, real quick, tell me if I got to shut
up
whenever you go.
You're good.
I remember when Shane Beamer was a special teams coach for Kirby at Georgia. And Shane and I had become really good friends. And he's like, come up in mid-March, okay? And I'm like, sure, yeah, I'll come up. So come over there. Me and him are just BSing about golf. I mean, it's March the 15th or something like that. Spring practice is not even going on. And we see Kirby starting to walk down the hall. And I'm like, oh, Kirby's going to come over. He's a golfer. I'll say hello. And he's like, Shane. Like, he said, you know what? He goes, hey, what are you doing? The guy, we're just talking about stuff like that. He goes, hey, in my office, 5 minutes, we got to talk about this this field goal protection that I don't like that we're running. And I thought he was kind of, you know, messing with me and stuff like that. And then Shane hauls ass to he's like, no, we got to go. Like, but that was the obsessive nature of Kirby Smart, that in mid-March.
Field goal protection.
He wanted to talk to Shane Beamer about one play that they may use five times throughout the season. And we're 6 months away from the damn season. And he's talking, you know, he's talking to me. And I don't think it's personal because I like Kirby and Kirby likes me. But it was just about of like, I got something on my mind. Let's get it done. And that's when I realized, I was like, buddy, he's cut from a different cloth.
Real quick before we go, South Carolina, is that the untapped beast? Because there's something there. And I think Beamer might be plugged into it.
I think what Beamer does is he creates a culture that I think is missing from a lot of this kind of like transfer portal world, that I think that once you get adopted into the South Carolina family, it truly is a family. And I think now it's very transactional in college football of how much you're going to pay me, who I'm going to do, what there. I think Lenoris has an opportunity to turn that place into something special. The fan base is good, and they're one of those programs that I think that could dip in and out of the college football playoffs. But this year is very important for them, especially that opener against Virginia Tech here in Atlanta, because you got to set the tone right to continue to have that momentum to say the new floor of South Carolina football might be 8-4 versus 4-8.
Peter Burns, SEC Network and ESPN. Always enjoy the conversations with you,
thanks,
my friend.
By the way, I went out there and said, can I please be on your guys' show? Because I enjoy your guys' work. So thank y'all very much for having me on.
You came to us, which was even better.
All right, I guess we'll have this idiot on.
You were on my list, so I got to find Peter.
Can we use that in contract negotiations?
Yes.
Like, Peter Burns wanted to come on our show.
They're going to pay you less. You'll be doing a Sunday morning show at 5 a.m. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
More coming, including celebrity birthdays, next, 1025. The